A few years back, my friend Justin Warner from Food Network moved out to South Dakota. He opened a ramen joint, and he is always posting pictures of all the great food he's not only cooking, but eating all over South Dakota. He's always telling me to come visit. And you know, one of the best ways to experience a new place is to eat your way through it. But it's equally important to live your way through it, too. And when you summer in South Dakota, you can fill up on all the lake days, hikes, rides, and small-town strolls that'll leave you with a regained sense of wonder and a hunger to do it all over again. See why there's so much South Dakota, so little time at TravelSouthDakota.com. Hey, Andres.
How you doing?
I'm doing well.
Good.
Here we are in the studio.
Yeah.
We're taping a show, and I have never prepared less.
Oh wait, Dan, you don't have your prep?
I mean, I have a few random notes.
Oh,
that you
sorry,
sent
hold
me.
On. Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot the prep. Okay, here, I'll get you your prep. 1 second.
Normally, my prep is like 15 pages. Andres just handed me a piece of paper on which he wrote in Sharpie, two chefs and a lie.
Cue right. The music. Dun, 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 dun.
This is The Sporkful. It's not for foodies, it's for eaters. I'm Dan Pashman. Each week on our show, we obsess about food to learn more about people. And for the second time in our show's history, we're turning this into a game show. We're playing Two Chefs and a Lie, and I am not really the host of this game. I'm a contestant like you, dear listener. We're going to play together. And here is our master of ceremonies, his producer, Andres O'Hara. So we've played this game on the show once before, Andres. Tell folks how it works.
For sure, Dan. So this game is sort of like Two Truths and a Lie. Here, we've got three chefs set up for you on Zoom. Two are real chefs. One is the liar. Your job is to find the liar.
They're on Zoom, but we've turned off video, so I can't see them, just like listeners can't see them.
You're not biased by them.
Right.
But they're all here. And your job is to figure out who are the two chefs and who is the liar.
Okay. And what other rules are there?
So each of the chefs are going to give you a quick intro to tell you who they are, and then you get to ask them questions. But the rules are no Google, no internet, no phones, and that goes for the folks at home, too. The last rule, you only have 5 questions.
Oh, I forgot about that rule. Yeah, I didn't pick the liar last time.
And so, Dan, do you think you can redeem yourself this time?
I hope so.
So this is your second time around. Do you have any thoughts on how you're going to approach these chefs?
A lot of it just comes down to kind of gut feeling at the end. The real challenge is that if you try to figure out whose story seems most outlandish or most extraordinary,
mm-hmm.
that can be a pitfall because being the good producer that you are, Andres, you didn't just find me. I'm sure the real chefs are not just any old chefs. You found some good chefs with some good stories. So the fact that their story may be noteworthy
right. mm-hmm.
doesn't mean that it's not true.
I mean, that could be true. I could have found you chefs with a good story. I could be a good producer, but you never know.
Maybe
you
that's
know?
The lie.
Maybe that's the lie. I've been the liar the whole time, Ben. So let's meet our first chef. Take it away, Angela.
Hi, I'm Angela Fortunato. I'm originally from Youngstown, Ohio, and I'm still in Youngstown, Ohio with my entire family. I've been a head chef at Bubba Netta's for 12 years. When I was in high school, I started as a busser and I worked my way up and I held almost every position. So I have no classic training, but I was trained there.
Okay, Dan, so you've got 5 questions for Angela.
Tell me about the history of the name of the restaurant, Bubba Netta's.
So Bubba Netta's is their grandmother, and they call her Bubba, which actually means old woman. So it's a really, really flattering name. But her name was Annette, so it's Bubba Netta's.
What's the address of the restaurant?
64 Cardinal Drive. That's Canfield, Ohio, 44406.
I don't know. Would a real chef give the zip code? What do you think?
I don't know. I mean, that's, yeah. I mean,
it's a real small town, guys. I'm proud of it.
Okay. What is your favorite thing to cook and why? I'm counting that as one question.
All right. Your show, Dan.
A lot of loopholes.
Yeah.
A lot of loopholes.
I come from a long line of lawyers.
my favorite thing to cook is brujol. I grew up going to the Italian Fest. It's called the Briar Hill Fest. That's in Youngstown with my cousins, and they have a stand there. And so we'd always cook brujol, and it's like overnight. It just brings a lot of family memories back. And my cousin is no longer with us, so it's very special to me to cook that, and I actually was able to put that on our menu at Bubba Netta's.
Explain to me in detail how you cook the brujol.
So you can use pounded beef filet. We use that good old-fashioned skirt steak, baby, and we pound it really, really thin, and then we stuff it with cheese, parsley, garlic, salt, pepper, olive oil. We rub that all on it, and then we now put Italian greens inside of it as well. But we put that in, then we roll it together, and we tie it up, and we put it in our homemade sauce. I can't give you the detail about that. We just simmer it for a very long time overnight, and there was a lot of black velvet drank while we're cooking it, and then we put it in.
Wait, this is a quick sidebar. This isn't kind of a question. What's black velvet?
Oh my God, it's a whiskey.
Okay.
Uh-huh. You've got to come to have a bonfire. We just passed around a bottle of it.
While making the brujol?
Yeah. Ooh.
No, I'm saying you have to come to my house for a bonfire and be nice and Midwestern and inviting you to my home.
Oh, that's very nice. Got it. Okay, thank you.
The cynical New Yorker couldn't believe it.
Right.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. A lot of red flags being kind, I guess. So we simmer that overnight, and then we don't put it in like a fork and knife dish. We put it in a hoagie.
Mm.
That was all very believable.
Last question, Dan.
All right, here we go. One more question. Why haven't you gone to another restaurant, Angela?
My entire family lives in a 15-mile radius of my house, and I don't want to be the like monster of the family that leaves because one of my siblings left, and they are very frowned upon. And I mean, they taught me everything I know. When I got hired, the woman, her name's Phyllis Olin, she works the front of the house. She was like, I like people that have never worked anywhere else because I get to train them exactly as I can be. And so call it Stockholm Syndrome, but I really like where I work.
And wait, your brother who left, where'd he move? Like Cleveland?
No, it was my sister. Oh. And unfortunately, yeah, she moved to Cleveland, but now she's in Charleston, South Carolina.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a whole other place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
That's a whole other state.
Angela, thank you very much. If your restaurant actually exists, it sounds fantastic, and I would love to eat there sometime.
Well, thank you for having me.
All right, Dan, those are your five questions for Angela. How do you feel about your strategy after talking to our first chef?
I think it was okay. I think that questions when you ask someone sort of about like a story or how they feel, that stuff's kind of easy to fudge.
Uh-huh.
I think I should be asking a little bit more pointed detail type questions. Okay. We got into a couple, the recipe for the brujol. Mm-hmm. I just think that the whole story just seemed believable to me. Mm-hmm. And the family details and being at this restaurant, it just like, you know, it just, I would rate that one as pretty credible.
So let's go with chef number two.
My name is Jihye Kim. I am chef in Ann Arbor, Michigan. My restaurant is called Miss Kim. It's part of Zingerman's community of businesses.
Zingerman's, the famous Ann Arbor deli, and that's also a restaurant group, is that right?
Yes.
Got it. Go on.
I was born and raised in Seoul, Korea. My mother was an excellent cook and still is. God, she's not passed away. And I emigrated to New Jersey, and I ended up in Michigan because I went to University of Michigan. My food is inspired by Midwestern Michigan produce and ancient Korean cookbooks.
Hi, Jihye, first of all.
Hi.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too.
Describe to me a dish you make that you think brings together ancient Korean recipes and Midwestern Michigan produce especially well.
Mm-hmm. We have this dish called tteokbokki. It's sauteed rice cakes. We do several different versions, but the version that I think that brings the ancient traditions better is the royale style. This is a sauteed rice cakes dish that originated from the palace and has many luxurious ingredients like mushrooms and vegetables and eggs and different kind of meat. And then it slowly evolves into braised like spicy rice cakes that you see everywhere in Korea without those ingredients. So at the restaurant, we use Michigan mushrooms, beets, sometimes asparagus, if asparagus is in season. And we saute that traditional way with soy sauce-based sauce rather than gochujang-based sauce, which is chili paste. And then we serve it as vegetarian. And I think that has become one of our most popular dishes on the menu.
I love tteokbokki, first of all. It's so good. What is the secret to keeping it crispy even after it has been added to a sauce or broth?
That's question two.
Our version is sautéed really quickly with not that much sauce. The sauce is intensely flavored, but it's not sitting in sauce, and it's sautéed pretty hard. So it's crispy on the outside and chewy, and textural interest is still there. So it stays crispy without the sauce.
I mean, it's a Hall of Fame food, tteokbokki, the rice cakes, crispy on the outside. But usually when I've had it in a stew, and it does still manage to maintain crisp even being in a broth, which to me is part of its magic and something that I love about it, because you don't usually get crispy components inside the liquid of a stew.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, rice cakes are made 100% with rice flour rather than wheat flour. So it holds its texture a little better.
Right, right. All right. I'm just chatting.
Oh,
here,
sure,
Andres.
Sure,
just chatting.
Sure, yeah. Okay. I didn't hear a question mark, so I let it slide. You know.
What's the address of your restaurant?
Are you gonna ask this to every single chef? Just checking. It's 415 North Fifth Avenue, Ann Arbor, Michigan.
No zip code. No, suspicious.
I'm gonna mess with you a little bit.
All right. Who was the starting quarterback for the Michigan Wolverines last year?
Oh, I have no idea. I don't follow sports, but I do follow the dates because it does impact the business of the restaurant. I think the last quarterback I know is Tom Brady from like 20 years ago.
Okay. Of course, it's okay to not be a sports fan, but I mean, in Ann Arbor, Michigan, home of the University of Michigan, it's a college town. Mm. I would think even if you're not that into it, you would, just through osmosis, pick up a few basic bits of information. I'm going to risk it. I'm going to take another question on the same vein. Who are the Michigan Wolverines' arch rivals?
Oh, Ohio and Wisconsin. I don't know the team names.
Ohio?
Yeah, Ohio.
Ooh.
And Wisconsin.
Dan's looking a little disappointed. He's writing.
Okay. All right, so that's four questions in.
One question left.
I'm just confirming a fact here.
All right.
You said that your restaurant is connected to Zingerman's, the famous deli in Ann Arbor?
Yes.
Okay. What is your favorite menu item at Zingerman's, not counting your restaurant, and why?
Oh, are we talking sandwiches or all the entire product line?
Entire product line.
Okay. The entire product line, Zingerman's Bakehouse have this bread called Country Mish. They use locally milled grains, and it's super crusty, and the crumb is still soft. It's the best bread in the country.
You could have Googled that, but okay.
Or did I?
All right, Jihei, well, thank you so much for joining us, and it was lovely to speak with you, and if your restaurant exists, I would love to come there sometime.
Come on by. Thank you.
All right, Dan. That was Jihei Kim, and you kind of tweaked your strategy a little bit. You even did two questions about sports when you knew she wasn't a sports fan. Did that tell you anything? Was there anything?
I feel that in a major college town like Ann Arbor, Michigan, even if you're not much of a fan, you should have some just from talking to the people coming to your restaurant,
you know,
from chatting with your neighbors in town, you're going to pick up information, even if you don't really care.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I didn't ask complicated, hardcore questions, just very basics, like who is Michigan's rival?
Mm-hmm.
As she said, Ohio and Wisconsin. So that's not a great answer on two fronts. First of all, it's Ohio State, which is not the same as Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you got to know that. And it's not, I mean, Wisconsin is, I guess, kind of a rival. Michigan, Ohio State.
Right.
Is one of the, it's like the Yankees and the Red Sox, the Dodgers and the Giants, Duke and North Carolina in college basketball. It's one of the classic sports rivalries in America.
Uh-huh.
So the fact that she didn't know that right off the top of her head, you know, like you don't need to be a sports fan to know that if you're living in the heart of it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
She also didn't give me a zip code.
Ooh, didn't give you a zip.
Nice.
Okay, Dan, time to take a quick break. When we come back, we've got our last chef and then the big reveal. Who are the chefs? Who's the liar? Stick around.
It's time to open up a can of advertisements.
Norwegian Cruise Line breaks the boundaries of global cruise travel. When you cruise with NCL, you're going to get award-winning specialty restaurants, a variety of food and beverage offerings, immersive entertainment, and the most thrilling experiences at sea. It is first class. These ships have all kinds of specialty restaurants, Brazilian steakhouse, French, Spanish, Italian, Japanese, Mexican. Select ships also feature al fresco dining on the waterfront and Ocean Boulevard, an oceanside promenade lined with bars and restaurants. Norwegian provides guests with truly authentic and fresh dining and bar experiences complemented by exceptional service. Almost everything you'll eat is prepared from scratch by highly experienced chefs. And they got whatever you're going to be in the mood for. You want a quick casual family meal? They've got that. You want a beautiful four-course feast? They've got that too. And you can sip something delicious at one of up to 23 unique bar and lounge options per ship. Visit and explore exciting destinations around the world and enjoy unique experiences on board. With no set dining and entertainment times and no formal dress codes, you have the flexibility to design your ideal vacation. Book your next adventure at ncl.com. This episode is brought to you by Merrick Pet Care. We have a dog. Her name is Sasha. She's almost four. She's a standard poodle. She's black and fluffy and soft and very adorable. And when we first got her, we took her to like this puppy kindergarten training class. The whole family went and, you know, they're teaching you how to use the treats and all this. The trainer watched Sasha for a bit and said, she's very food motivated. And my daughter Emily turned to me and said, she's a Pashman. And so she is food motivated. And that's why we make a point of feeding Sasha high quality pet food. Founded in Hereford, Texas, Merrick has been crafting high-quality dog food for over 30 years. Real is Merrick's recipe, so they always use deboned meat, fish, or poultry as the number one ingredient. Now, let me tell you something. When it's dinner time, Sasha is motivated, okay? She is highly motivated to come in from patrolling the backyard at dinner, to get up off the couch, whatever she's doing, she will drop it and come running. Check out Merrick online or in your local pet store and look for their new packaging with real ingredients shown on the bag and inside it. At Boar's Head, delicious is in the details. And you see that in their incredible selection of hummus flavors. Boar's Head hummus is expertly crafted to achieve the perfect balance of creamy texture and refined taste. You can taste those chickpeas. You can taste the tahini. You can taste a little bit of acidity. It's got it all. I especially love their roasted red pepper hummus made with fire-roasted peppers. You can even taste a little bit of that char. It's perfectly dippable. It's perfectly spreadable. This is the kind of thing you always want to have on hand in your refrigerator. Dip, scoop, spread, or smear Boar's Head hummus to your heart's content. Hummus so extraordinary, it can only be Boar's Head. Compromise elsewhere. Famous Amos chocolate chip cookies are so iconic that I just say Famous Amos and it's like I can taste it. Each cookie is filled with semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch. And the word satisfying is very key there because some cookies are crunchy and brittle, and I don't like that. But Famous Amos has a deep, tooth-sinkable, satisfying crunch that I know and love. And Famous Amos classic bite-sized chocolate chip cookies are bringing back the original recipe that everyone knows and loves. One perfect bite, everything classic in a cookie. Find Famous Amos cookies anywhere you buy your favorite snacks. Welcome back to The Sporkful. I'm Dan Pashman, and we are just 1 week away from our first Sporkful live taping in New York since before COVID. I can't wait. I'll be chatting with Vanessa Pham from Omsam and Chitra Agrawal from Brooklyn Deli. These are both up-and-coming food brands that are trying to sell Asian-inspired products to a mass American audience. What are the challenges of that? What are the opportunities? I'm excited for this discussion. I think it's going to be thoughtful and also a lot of fun. And you're going to get to try some of their food, too, because there's going to be samples and foods for sale and giveaways. And Bonza and Sfolini Cascatelli will be there. Yes, Sfolini co-founder Scott Ketchum, famous from his appearances here on The Sporkful, will be there manning the Sfolini table. He'll even autograph your box of Cascatelli if you want. That's next Wednesday, July 20th at the Bell House in Brooklyn. Get your tickets now at sporkful.com/live. Okay, back to the show. And Andres, I turn things back over to you.
All right, Dan, welcome back to Two Chefs and a Lie. Da, We're talking to three chefs here on Zoom. Two are real chefs and one is a liar. Your job is to figure out who's the liar. Dan, we've got only one chef left to go. Five questions. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Hey, everybody. My name is Shanti Yen. I am calling from Canada's capital city in Ottawa. And I've been cooking for about 20 years, and I'm currently the chef to the prime minister.
What? Oh, man. Major curveball here. See, this is what, like, on one hand, that sounds ridiculous. Mm-hmm. But it also, like, you know, could be the kind of thing that you, Andres, would have been like, I'm going to get the chef of the prime minister on the line, and you can't make those things up.
Or can you?
Or can you? Oh, man. All right. Okay, this is intense. All right, so let's just recap the facts. This isn't a question. So, Shanti, hi, nice to meet you.
Hey, nice to meet you.
You're from Ottawa?
I am currently residing in Ottawa. I was born and raised in Windsor, Ontario. And yeah, I've been cooking for about 20 years.
And you are now the chef to the Prime Minister of Canada?
Correct.
Who is Justin Trudeau?
Yes.
So Shanti, sorry, I interrupted you, but go on with your intro, please.
So I've been cooking in Michelin star restaurants. I've cooked across the country, and I'm also writing a cookbook.
Well, congratulations, if that's true.
I guess we'll have to find out.
Right. Okay. So,
You don't even understand that I'm smiling so hard right now.
I mean, there's a lot of questions rushing through my mind right now. Okay, let me think. Tell me the story of getting this job that you have as the chef to the Prime Minister of Canada.
All right, so I was in Montreal, about to make a move to Vancouver, which is where my partner is from. And I was outside and I received a phone call from an unknown number offering me a job to be the personal chef to the Prime Minister. And I thought it was one of my friends making a joke. So I entertained it and I accepted it. And then a couple of months later, it came to fruition. And I am now the chef of the Prime Minister.
Okay. Question two. So you accepted the job not knowing whether the offer was actually real?
That's right. It was a long process. But I ended up passing the criminal record checks for some reason. and here I am.
What kind of socks was Justin Trudeau wearing yesterday?
Oh, I have no clue. I would have to ask a housekeeper, I guess.
Doesn't even know the color of the socks.
That was a waste of a question.
Ooh,
or was it?
Mm.
Isn't he famous for wacky socks?
That's definitely what he's famous for.
All right. So that's three questions down, huh?
Two to go.
Okay. We got to get serious here.
Ask him a sports question.
Oh, jeez.
All right, Shanti. I'm going to say the name of another world leader, and I want you to tell me what you cooked for this person when they came to Canada for a state dinner.
Isn't that like against confidentiality?
Are you not supposed to say?
I wouldn't be able to, I don't believe.
Really? You can't say what you serve?
Mm-mm.
Oh, I don't know if that's believable or suspicious.
It's too good to be true.
Yeah, that seems like an easy out, Shanti.
Yeah.
Can you tell me about some meal that you cooked in your job without referencing who it was for?
Absolutely. So I made...
Details, please.
I made a blueberry cheesecake for an actor. And that actor is vegan in Vancouver.
Vegan only in Vancouver.
And it was a very home style blueberry pie with rock sugar topping.
How many questions have I used so far, Andres?
That's four questions.
I'm going to stick with the strategy that I had last time, which is to go deeper when I sense weakness.
All
right.
I want to hear more about this blueberry cheesecake because
vegan.
How is it vegan? And tell me more than just you put rock sugar on it.
Absolutely. So it is a pâte grise, but made with vegan butter. And
those sounded like made up words.
It's French.
Okay,
and
go on.
It was wild blueberry season in Vancouver. So that the blueberries were cooked down and tossed in cornstarch slurry and then crusted with a bit of rock salt topped with smoked whipped cream.
Smoked whipped cream. I mean, that sounds delicious. It sounds like something that only a real chef or someone pretending to be a real chef
Those are the two categories. All right, Dan, those are your five questions. Shanti, thank you so much.
Thank you, Shanti.
Thank you.
So just to recap, we've got two chefs and a liar. Angela Fortunato, whose restaurant Baba Netta's is in Ohio. We've got Jihei Kim, the owner of Miss Kim's in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And we've got Shanti Yen, personal chef to Justin Trudeau. And just for a little twist, now I want each of our chefs to tell me who they think the liar is. And we're going to tally it up. Angela, who do you think the liar is?
Jihei.
All right. Angela thinks Jihei is the liar. Jihei, who do you think the liar is?
I think Angela.
Angela, ooh. I don't know if that she really thinks that or that was retribution. But either way, we're canceling each other out.
All right.
All right. Last one. Shanti, who do you think the liar is?
I think it's Angela.
Angela. Okay. All right. We've got two for Angela, one for Jihei, none for Shanti, who is the personal chef to Justin Trudeau, but doesn't know what socks he wears. So, Dan, after listening to these three stories, how are you approaching who you think the liar is?
A lot of it's just sort of a combination of gut and how they handle details.
Mm-hmm.
Angela's story just sort of felt very kind of complete. It was very simple. It's strange to me. I've never heard of a chef being at the same restaurant for that long from the time they started. I mean, I'm sure it's happened.
Yeah.
But like, you know, it's not the most stable career. Like usually you're bouncing around a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes me a little bit suspicious, but still like it just, she knew the address and the zip code right away.
Yeah.
It just felt very like kind of self-contained.
Yeah.
There was nothing that was a red flag.
Mm-hmm.
Jihei, there's part of me that feels like I've heard of a place called Miss Kim's
mm-hmm.
in Ann Arbor, but you know, I can't be sure.
Mm-hmm.
Her not knowing that Michigan's arch rival is Ohio State, very suspicious. And then there's Shanti, who felt like he didn't have specific answers to much of anything.
Huh. And is that because he's the liar or he's bound by state secrets?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It just felt like everything I asked him, he wanted to give the shortest possible answer.
Yeah, yeah.
And only when he was pressed did he reveal a little bit more.
Yeah.
In my experience, most chefs, if you ask them, how'd you make that dish, they're going to tell you mm-hmm. in a lot of detail how they made that dish.
Yeah.
All right. And when I asked Shanti to talk about the blueberry cheesecake, he was like, it had blueberries and rock sugar. That's not a very chefy description
mm-hmm.
of a
mm-hmm.
thing that you made.
Okay, Dan, I want to give you and our listeners a moment to compose your thoughts and to figure out who you think the liar is. Now it's time to tell us who you think are the chefs and who you think is the liar. Who do you think the liar is, Dan?
After much consideration and deliberation, I think the liar is Shanti, the supposed chef to the Prime Minister of Canada.
Now, if the real liar can come forward and tell us a little bit about themselves.
Hi, I'm Emily Pendergast.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry.
It's Angela from Youngstown, Ohio. Have you ever
yes.
even been to Youngstown?
I have. That's where I'm from. and I'm the daughter that... my family is now disowned because I moved to California.
Oh, so there's a kernel of truth in it.
Oh, there is some truth in it. Yeah. Oh my God. Jihei, I'm so sorry. I felt awful saying that you were the liar. I've been a sweaty mess over here. My name's Emily Pendergast. I am an improv comedian. I'm at Groundlings.
One of the best.
It's the most fun, but I will tell you, I have 9,000 tabs open here. And I have like screenshots of like food temperatures. Cause I was like, what is he gonna ask me?
Wow, that is impressive. That's
thanks.
Well, Emily, you got me. You definitely got me.
I'm so happy. I've never been so happy to fool someone.
Is there, like, do you have any connection to, like, Baba Netta? Is that a real person?
Baba was my grandmother. Her name was Vicky Fortunato, but we called her Baba.
Mm.
And we are very Italian. And, like, the whole Briar Hill, like, the Brujol thing was real. Because I was like, oh, I can pull from this. I know what this is.
Right, right. Smart.
Yeah. And, but yeah, and I, oh man, when those Ann Arbor questions started happening, I was like, this is my thing.
Well, you did a great job, Emily.
Thank you.
I want to chat briefly with Jihei and Shanti. Jihei.
Yes.
It's Ohio State. Okay, that's the rival. That's Michigan's rival. All right? Just so you know, you don't have to care about sports if you don't want to. You can like what you like. But I'm just telling you, if you're chatting with customers and you want to make friends and have them come back, just be like, yeah, Ohio State, they suck.
Ohio State.
And how did you feel when Dan assumed that you were lying because you didn't know these sport facts?
Well, I didn't think it was going to come from sports trivia.
Yeah, I'm trying to keep you on your toes. Mm-hmm. So, Shanti, I'm sorry that I accused you of being a liar. So you're actually the chef to the prime minister?
Yes, I am.
It's true that there is a lot that you can't say about the food, right?
Absolutely, yes.
Right. You can't be like, oh, Angela Merkel is allergic to pine nuts.
Exactly.
Because then someone's going to slip her some pine nuts and, you know, half the Western world will go down.
Yes, absolutely. I'm here to protect people.
Okay, good. All right.
Yeah.
And do you actually not know what socks he wears, or is that part of the non-disclosure agreement?
Oh, I do know some of the collection, but...
I told you the socks. He knows about the socks.
He knows about the socks, yeah. Well,
I'm 0 for 2 at this game.
0 for 2.
My thanks to our MC for Two Chefs and a Lie, Sporkful producer Andres O'Hara, and to you, our listeners at home, for playing along. This was fun. Let's do this again next summer. I think we should do this every year. Also, a big thanks to our two chefs. Jihei Kim is the chef and owner of Ms. Kim's in Ann Arbor, Michigan. She was a semifinalist in this year's James Beard Award and was named one of Food & Wine magazine's best new chefs. I thought I had heard of her. I thought I had heard of that restaurant. Next time I'm in Ann Arbor, I'm going to Ms. Kim's. Shanti Yen is, in fact, the chef to the Prime Minister of Canada. He also has a restaurant in Vancouver called Nightshade. And he's writing a cookbook called Recipes by Ye. No affiliation with Kanye. Ye was his grandmother's name. That's coming out in 2024. Finally, thanks to our improv comic, Emily Pendergast. You can see her on the show Live and Local on the streaming platform PureFlix. And she's in the film Out of Office, which comes out later this summer. Please remember to get tickets for our live taping next week in Brooklyn. It's July 20th. Get your tickets at sporkful.com/live. Next week on the show, I have lunch with Phil Rosenthal, creator of one of the most successful sitcoms of all time, Everybody Loves Raymond. And these days, he's the host of the Naked Lunch podcast, and he stars in the Netflix show Somebody Feed Phil. And I kind of feel like I have a kinship with Phil because we're both sort of like guys who love to eat who kind of stumbled into food media and can't believe that we actually just like get to hang out and eat. We had a great time. It's a great conversation that'll be up next week. In the meantime, if you're looking for more Sporkful episodes, check out last week's show about the history of American barbecue. I talked to Michael Twitty about barbecue's West African and Caribbean roots. And then I try a very unique barbecue that you can only find on the south side of Chicago. Find that episode wherever you got this one. This show is produced by me, along with senior producer
Emma Morgenstern
and producer
Andres O'Hara.
Our editor is
Tracy Samuelson.
Our engineer is
Jared O'Connell.
Music help from Black Label Music. The Sporkful is a production of Stitcher. Our executive producers are Eric Eddings and Colin Anderson. Until next time, I'm Dan Pashman.
And this is Ellen Brady from Peninsula, Ohio, reminding you to eat more, eat better, and eat more better.
Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Need a cold coffee with a bold flavor? Dunkin' Cold K-Cup pods were specially crafted for cold coffee. Brew over ice straight out of the Keurig coffee maker for smooth, delicious Dunkin' taste you know and love. Find your next Dunkin' Cold coffee in the roasted coffee aisle.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium-iced coffee. With McDonald's Mix and Match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.